Amen. In this morning's gospel, Jesus has just visited John in prison. He's just sent the 12 disciples out into the world and warned them of what is to come. And we know from what happens later that, in fact, some of the disciples will encounter all kinds of experiences. It turns out, Jesus says, that discipleship is not easy. It is, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, costly. Once he visits John in prison, he looks around at those who are gathered and he says, "To what will I compare this generation?" It's like children sitting in a marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. Nothing has been quite right for you, has it?" After all, Jesus said, God sent John, a prophet, and he came neither eating nor drinking. He was, in fact, exactly what you expected, a fiery preacher of upright moral value, reminding you of your sins, much like the prophets of old. And you said, he has a demon. He's not what we want. He's not what we expect. And then the Son of Man, Jesus said, speaking of himself, came eating and drinking. And again, we weren't satisfied. Look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners, all of the things that we don't want and we didn't expect, not the prophet that meets our needs. It's funny, isn't it? It's funny if we put ourselves into the mind of the crowd, how often we are like that. Our churches and our pastors and our religions never quite seem to measure up to what we expect. We have ingrained in ourselves and in our society a kind of unrealistic and personalized vision of who God is for us. But you see, we miss it. We miss the point. You see, we keep forming these ideas about who God is and what we want out of our religious experience. We get it backwards, I think. And so Jesus, at the end of this text, says these words that I think maybe keep me in the church and keep me in my religious life, keep me devoted in my faith. Rather than a list of all the things that Jesus and God expect, rather than a laundry list of moral behaviors, rather than an unending Excel spreadsheet of all of the sins that need to be redeemed, Jesus says this: "Come to me, all that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." Surprising words in many ways, having just heard from John. Surprising words, really, from Jesus after all the things that he just told his disciples that they would need to endure in order to deliver the good news. "Come to me, all you who are weary." Lord knows we need those words this morning. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Years and years ago, I had a new member join one of my previous parishes. and he asked a question I wasn't expecting. We had finished the new member class, all of the, you know, collateral materials, the history of the church, and all of the opportunities for ministry and service and fun. We had met together and talked about God and about Luther and about all of those things. And usually about that time, they sort of make a decision about whether or not they want to join, and they either say yes or they say no. But not this man. He said, "Pastor, I need to come to your office." And I said, "Okay, come on in." So he went in and he sat down and he said, "So, if I join this church, what do you expect of me?" I'll admit, being a good Lutheran pastor, I was completely stumped. "Well, what do you mean, what do I expect of you? What do we expect of you?" And he said, "Well, you know, what do you expect me to do in order to be a member here?" I remember thinking to myself, "Well, we're Lutheran, so just come every once in a while. That'll be plenty." That wasn't the answer he wanted. He had come out of a tradition where the expectations were very clear. You were to, at a minimum, tithe. You were to attend every Sunday. It was expected that your children would be in Sunday school, and they kept track. I think it was as much of a cultural surprise to him to come to a Lutheran congregation where the yoke was so easy and the burden was so light that it seemed to him to be non-existent as it was to me to meet someone who expected me to expect so much. Jesus is strange. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then when you read the rest of the gospel and you read the rest of Jesus, it probably should end this way: "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I only expect your whole self." Your whole self. Not a bunch of rules, not a bunch of expectations, no contract, no, as I heard of in one congregation, no bringing your W-2 form in to the pastor's office so that they can calculate your tithe. It's just, Jesus says, "I want you to learn how to be loved. And then in turn, how to love." It's pretty hard and incredibly easy. In some ways, for some of us, that expectation of Jesus that we learn to be loved may be most difficult of all. Not only are we unsatisfied with others, unsatisfied with our church or our pastors or whatever, it turns out that we are also often unsatisfied with ourselves. So it may be that the first burden that we lay on Jesus is the need to love ourselves. And to accept, against all odds, that we are worthy to be loved. Imagine if you could unburden yourself in that way. And that is exactly what Christ reminds us. In his life and in his death and his resurrection, that those burdens of self-doubt and self-hate, of too many expectations of ourselves and our worthiness, can be laid on Jesus' shoulders. And he gives us a rest from it. And then the second part, that we might be able to love. Gosh, sometimes that's awfully hard to do. You remember the stories that we've been hearing in Genesis of Isaac and Ishmael and Hagar and Abraham and Sarah? It took a while for Abraham to learn that there was enough room for both Ishmael and for Isaac. That there was enough. In our Old Testament lesson, Abraham is looking for a wife for Isaac. But in a kind of moment of dissatisfaction, he wants to make sure that he would not be taking a wife from the Canaanites. And then, as so many of these Genesis stories are, they sort of ring on our modern ears in a difficult kind of way. He sends off a servant to find a wife for Isaac. This is the first time we've heard from Isaac in a while. And in that story of going to the well, and there is Rebecca, it's a shocking story in so many ways. Abraham has these huge expectations. No one in the neighborhood is good enough. But Rebecca says the right things at the right time. And she finds her way home. And in that story, not only does Rebecca find her way home to Isaac, a home she didn't even know she had, Isaac finds his way home in Rebecca. I love that story. It's a kind of strange love story, and maybe not quite in line with the culture I grew up with. But there's a moment in that story where Rebecca is coming forward on the camel. She's riding in on the camel, and she sees Isaac, and much to her surprise, she likes him. It says in our reading for the first lesson, and when she saw Isaac, she slipped quickly from the camel, but in the Hebrew it's, and she fell off her camel. And she says, "Who is that man over there?" And then Isaac has himself unburdened. He and Rebecca are married, and they comfort one another. They find a new and unexpected love. So even out of this story with its strange sense of dating, we find God at work in Rebecca, and we celebrate this sister of the faith, unlooked for and renewed. In the same way, we also learn to love, I suppose. If we need to learn to be loved, then also God helps us in Christ to learn to love others as well. Maybe that's part of what it means to be unburdened. To unburden ourselves of the hate for people we do not understand. To make room in our hearts, as Abraham had to make room for both Isaac and Ishmael, we too need to learn to make room for all people. For that is, in fact, what love looks like in Jesus. And so we take on that yoke that Jesus puts upon us. And it's a different yoke than we put on ourselves. It is, in fact, the yoke of God's deep and infinite love for all things. And in putting that yoke upon our shoulders, we find ourselves free in a way that we never expected or ever hoped for. We're free to be loved by God and our neighbor, and we are free to love God and our neighbor. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. In the end, for that man who came to my office and asked what was expected of him, I simply said this, that you love God and love your neighbor. That's enough. It's enough. Amen. Let's join together in singing the hymn of the day.